first open to Psalm chapter 33. We want to read one verse, verse number 12. And then we'll also turn over to the book of Proverbs in chapter 14 and read verse number 34. And these are going to be familiar verses to you as they talk about nations, which simply is a reference to peoples and their relationship to God. So here in Psalm 33, notice verse number 12. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." And then Proverbs 14 and verse number 34. It says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Let's pray. Lord, I ask thy blessing upon this message, and Lord, somewhat of a generic message as it relates to these two passages. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us and edify us as we consider not only these passages, but as we consider the spiritual direction of this country over the last few decades, and Lord, we could even say over the last few days. And so just bless as we try to make some practical observations concerning the recent election in light of the Word of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, these verses are not foreign to us. I think I recall one year at camp, maybe more than one year, using Proverbs 14:34 as a passage on different crafts and things. But probably Psalm 33 could also be used for that. Notice again in verse number 12 it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Everybody wants to be blessed, I would assume. They might not always use the word blessed. A lot of people would say they want to be happy. Of course, the way to be happy is to be blessed of God. And here, this isn't the only passage that talks about being a blessed man. Matter of fact, that would be quite an interesting study to look at all the passages in the Bible that deal with a blessed man and what all is involved in having the blessings of God upon our lives. Recently, Pastor Sorensen, when he was here, went through Psalm chapter 1 that gives us two key elements for the blessed man. He needs to be separated and he needs to saturate himself with the Word of God. But here, it's talking about more than just an individual person. It's talking about an entire group of people. And again, understand the word nation means people. You know, because when we think of nation today, you know, we think of a country that has borders surrounding it and everything within those boundaries is that nation. And in a sense, that's what is meant, but it simply means peoples. And I think when we understand the basic meaning of a word or a phrase, we get a better understanding of the truth or truths that the Scripture is conveying. It's like recently I was reading and studying there in Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at that Sunday morning, and it uses the word tongues. You know, I think today there's a lot of misunderstanding in regards to tongues in the Bible because that word is not understood to be languages, but that's all that it means. It just means languages. And you can imagine the different perspective people would have if Acts chapter 2 was read and they all heard them speak in their own languages. But that word tongue is not a word that we use today in reference to a particular language. And so many well-meaning Pentecostals, but nonetheless misdirected, interpret that to mean some type of angelic language, prayer language in some cases. And the same could be said of the word doctrine. People want to talk and minimize the subject of doctrine. You know, doctrine divides and doctrine's not important and we shouldn't let it get in the way of of fellowshipping one with another. But the word doctrine means teachings. Aren't the teachings of Scripture important? They most certainly are. But when we understand the basic meanings of those words, it helps us to stay straight in our thinking and in our interpretation of the Scriptures. And such is the case here. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, we could say that in regards to our small church. Here we are, a group of people. A nation, a little nation. Is the Lord our God? Because we can never truly experience His blessings if He's not. Again, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Boy, when God chooses you as a group of people to work through, you truly are a blessed nation. And of course, I want to talk about these scriptural truths in light of the United States and the recent election. And you know, when I think about the United States and its past, it was most definitely a nation used of God. The seven letters to the seven churches of Asia, we understand, also mean different time periods of church history. And to that church in Philadelphia, God gave an open door that no man can shut. And it's very possible that that is a reference to the great missionary activity of the 1700s and 1800s. And much of that activity still persists today. And it's in large part due to the missionaries that are sent out from the United States. Independent fundamental Baptist missionaries are probably in every country that exists in the world today. Even our little bitty church supports, what, 9 or 10 missionaries. 2 on our local soil, but the others are scattered in other parts of the world. And then Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. What promotes a nation? What makes it great? Boy, if you were to ask that question to politicians, to economists, to educators, and to preachers, you probably would get an assortment of different answers. But the Bible says it's righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin. Sin is a reproach unto any people. Maybe getting ahead of myself a little bit with these comments. But it's easy to become overly excited when you're a conservative Christian and you look at the results of the election, the presidential election. I don't know how each state voted, but I think there was 12 states in all that were voting on marijuana in one form or fashion. In most cases, I think it was just to legalize medical use of marijuana, which doesn't seem too bad, but yet it is the first step. You know how things go and how progressives work. It's just the first step to normalizing it and making it acceptable in all parts of the country. And by the way, as soon as you have a majority of states legalizing it for recreational use and accepting it, the federal government will follow suit. This is one of the few issues we watch the federal government taking a back seat to the states and letting them decide. But I know, at least in California, recreational use of marijuana was legalized. Somebody at work was talking about another thing that was on the ballot, and they were kind of poking fun at it. And it's kind of such a reprobate policy, I'm not even going to mention it as to what it was. But they were laughing about it because it had something to do with the adult film industry and whether or not something should be required or not. And it was voted on in the state of California. I only point that out to demonstrate, you know, America didn't necessarily turn a corner last night and early this morning. Might have been a step in the right direction, but we don't know yet. We don't know yet. And really, you know, what I want to do tonight is, you know, make some observations about the elections, because, you know, I recall when I was a member of the First Baptist Church of Grafton, and there was something of significance that happened around the world, I would always eagerly anticipate our next church service. Because I always wanted to hear my pastor's thoughts on the matter. I mean, after all, his thoughts, at least in my mind, were the second most opinion in all the world behind the thoughts and the opinions of God. And you know, as I kind of sat back and watched and witnessed, you know, what people were saying and how they were acting and how they were responding, you know, I witnessed a great deal of people giving their opinions on the election and what had occurred. I mean, probably for 2-3 hours or so, I listened, you know, to a couple of panels of people on the news last night, you know, talking about what they kept calling this historical election. And most of these individuals that were on these panels, they were pundits or politicians themselves who had made predictions regarding the election, and they were completely wrong. They gave advice to Donald Trump all throughout the election process, which was rejected, and yet he won anyway. And here are all these individuals now watching and witnessing what is happening and offering up their opinions as to what the new president-elect should do going forward. And I was glad to hear some on the radio share my own opinion on that matter, which is, who are these people to tell him anything? Now, as some of you young people may not know the names that I throw out there, but Juan Williams, he's a contributor to the Fox News channel, and he's on the radio. I hear him all the time. He's on the television. I see some of the videos he's in, and he's always the Democrat voice on Fox News or on Sean Hannity's show or some other radio programs. He's always the Democrat voice, and there he was, and he was saying what Donald Trump needs to do now is reach out. He needs to reach out to Democrats. He needs to reach out to those, I guess, who were offended. Reach out to the black community or this community or that community that might be offended by some of the things that he said. And I'm like, oh, like your candidate did when he won? When he said the Republicans can come along for the ride, but they have to sit in the back of the bus? Reach out like that? Reach out like he did by just arbitrarily pushing their legislation through however they could without any support from Republicans whatsoever? How nice of you to offer up such advice. But I listen to those people give their opinions. Politicians give their opinions. Radio personalities give their opinions. I listened to them for 2 hours at work this morning. Everybody sharing with one another their opinion. Heaven help you if you get on social media and follow what people are saying there. But everybody has something to say about the election. And I just tried to listen. Because what I kept thinking to myself is, you know what? What I have to say on the matter isn't important, and it doesn't matter. And what all these other people have to say about it, it doesn't matter either. And yet everybody's so eager to express their opinion. They have a desire for their voice to be heard, a desire for their wisdom to be on display, a desire for their opinion to stand out. But you know, that is often motivated by the flesh. You see, the flesh, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, it puffs itself up. It vaunteth itself. The flesh is consumed with self. And self wants the spotlight. Self wants the microphone. Self thinks that whatever I have to say is so much more important than what anybody else has to say. But I want to say again, our opinions don't matter. The opinions of others don't matter. I could even say my pastor's opinion doesn't matter. Other than it is an opinion that's filtered through the truths of Scripture. Filtered through the truths of Scripture. And you know, that's why I always eagerly anticipated what my pastor had to say about significant events. Because his opinions were always predicated on the truths and the principles of Scripture. And the Scriptures and God's opinion is all that really matters. But I'm going to make some observations nonetheless. You know, my first thought was that of relief. Like a burden that had been lifted, that's been on my shoulders for 8 years. And I'm sure that's how many of you feel, if you've been alive that long. Think about these young people. Me and Tammy were looking at some results for previous elections. And I always thought of myself as older when Ronald Reagan was president, but he was first voted in 1980. So I was 9. Yikes. 9 or 10. Thought I was older than that. And I knew he won handily, but I was looking in the first election, he won with like 400 and something electoral votes. I mean, I don't know how many total is there. He had so many. And that was, of course, when he ran against Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter was an incumbent. I mean, it must have been just terrible then. I mean, terrible to win from an incumbent like that. I mean, if you're an incumbent, you can almost guarantee you're going to get reelected. I mean, in my lifetime, George W. Bush is the only one, or is it George W.? George, get them all, the first George Bush. And it's, you know why he didn't get reelected? Because he said, read my lips, no new taxes. And he raised taxes. And he's the only president, I think, since I've paid attention, that it's been an incumbent and didn't win, other than Jimmy Carter, but I was 9, so I don't remember that. I do recall reading stories about 20% interest rates. How'd you like to buy a house with a 20% interest rate? Nowadays, you get like 2.75. You can give the house away. I mean, everything you buy today, tractor, whatever, 0% interest for 6 years. No interest rates. His day was 20%. No wonder he... And but his second term, he won with like 500 and something. The only state he didn't win then was Minnesota. Minnesota and like Washington, D.C. or something. That was it. He lost Minnesota both times. So Tammy and I were talking. Brother Sorensen was right. That place is wicked. I want to know what their background is. Ronald Reagan won California, New York, and Illinois. He won every state except Minnesota. Like, that's amazing. But you know, Tammy and I said on more than one occasion that we needed to pray, and I can't recall praying harder for any election than this one, and I contribute that part of the reason why it turned out the way that it did. Again, the story hasn't been written as to what type of changes will occur, but again, I felt relief. For 8 years, we've been under an administration that is no fan of the United States of America and is no fan of biblical Christianity. And not only did I feel relief, though, I felt a reprieve. I felt that our country was given a reprieve by God, a reprieve from the purposeful radical transformation of America, which is what President Obama said he would do. A reprieve from the constant cultural struggle that we find ourselves in. Every single day there is a story in the news about this struggle that is transpiring, and we as Christians are losing the struggle. But we have been given a reprieve from the attacks upon biblical Christianity. And these attacks and this transformation has been attempted through executive action, through military experiments, cultural experiments, through education, through immigration. And we've been given a reprieve. One that we don't really deserve, do we? We don't deserve God's goodness or God's grace. No, this country doesn't. Not in light of the decisions that it's made over the last few years or decades, if you want to go back that far. But we've been given a reprieve. Because I was saying, you know, if we get another socialistic, anti-Christian president in, they're probably going to be in for another 8 years, and then maybe their VP in for 12. And I told Tammy, I said, well, then we're a socialist country till death do we part. Now we're at their age, we keep thinking, okay, now we could have 12 years. How old will we be by then? Well, we're not retired yet. So we're thinking, we just need to get close to death, and then we don't have to care anymore. Just pray for our poor kids. But you know, I tell you, I have witnessed a lot of people who act as though they're scared to death about what has happened. I'm not sure what they're afraid of. I've got one friend, and she lives in Indianapolis. She's African American. Used to work with her. She's just a diehard leftist. Diehard. And her 16-year-old daughter woke up and just was beside herself, didn't know what was going to happen. Whoa, oh, me, what are we going to do? I wanted to say, hey, nobody's going to take you out and lynch you. You're not going to be like Joe Biden said, put back in chains. I mean, what direction have minorities' rights gone over the last 60 years? Haven't they gotten better and better? What direction have women's rights gone over the last 60 years? What direction have homosexual rights gone over the last 60 years? And that is in regardless of who's been in power, whether it be a Republican or a Democrat. Nobody's been attacked because they're a minority. Women have not been tried to put back in the kitchen and the nursery. And even homosexuals are allowed to parade through the streets. And nobody blows them up until we allow Islamic extremists in the country. So their fears are unfounded. But I suggest to you that the fears that we had prior to the election were real. The Bible has been taken out of schools. Prayer has been removed from the locker room. Bakers and florists have been fined and lost their businesses. County clerks have been placed in jail. And people, because they hold biblical convictions about morality, have been fired from their jobs. Our fears are a reality, not a figment of our imaginations. And that's why last night was both a relief and a reprieve. But does this mean America has been healed? That we've turned the corner, and boy, we're on our way to the promised land. Well, can I say to you, nothing, nothing has been done yet. There has been no change in any policy, no change in the hearts of the American people. We have not experienced a great revival. We've simply had an election. And before you say, oh, but preacher, it was a landslide victory. It was. Donald Trump lost the popular vote, it looks like, by about 200,000 votes. About 120 million votes cast. I can't help but think that's got to be a record. 120 million? There's only 350 million people in the country. And you got kids and crazy people and felons. They can't vote. 120 million votes cast. 200,000 separate the two candidates. That's 0.1%. So, you know, before we get our pom-poms out and start cheerleading, it wasn't such a resounding victory. We still got 50-50 in this country. But by the way, that does suggest how smart and wise our founding fathers were. Every election I hear people talk about, why do we need the Electoral College? Good question to ask, but do your homework and do your research to find out why we have it. If we didn't have it, you know what would happen? The politicians would campaign in the 10 biggest cities in America, and they would neglect every other part of the country. Because all they'd have to win is Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and whatever cities, other big cities there are. And then everybody out in the rural areas would be lost and forgotten. Have you seen a map? It happens every election. You see a map. I saw one just a few minutes before our service, and I think it was Brother Dave that had posted this picture, and it had all this red. Just, it was county by county, how each county voted. All this red and just a little, some spots of blue here and there. And he says, Trump has better coverage than Verizon, is what it said. And then it said, can you hear me now? I thought that was funny. Of course, much of that country is rural areas. I noticed my children have caught on to this, that in each state, all the rural areas have to fight with their big cities. Illinois, I saw somebody else that said, we need to build a wall. And, you know, and it was like a tenth of the way down to Illinois. Build a wall and take back our state. That's the only way they'd be able to. Pennsylvania, the rural places have to fight with Philadelphia. Illinois, the rural places have to fight with Chicago. We have to fight with Indianapolis. Just our state tends to be very conservative. There's even conservatives there in the city. No, we've not transitioned from a socialist-minded country to a free market one. We have not transitioned from a country that has forgotten God to one that remembers Him. No, that's not what's happened. As I've said already, we just have been given a short reprieve. It is a blessing, don't get me wrong. But it only slows down the direction of America. Christian haters are still very real. America haters are still going to be active. Socialists, Darwinists, environmentalists, humanists, and atheists are still there. And we need to keep fighting. Fighting for the United States. Fighting for biblical principles and conservative principles, and fighting for the faith. Fighting for the faith. If I could borrow political terms, we need to get our ground game going, and we need to keep it going all year round. winning sinners, persuading minds. You know how long progressives, liberals, leftists indoctrinated children before they made the types of progresses that they have, and they call them progresses, but many of them are going backwards spiritually. It took decades. A systematized way of changing America from a free market, God-fearing country to a secular country that's very socialistic. I have long enjoyed election nights, one of my favorite nights every 4 years. Because the last few elections, I always have spent it on the phone or texting back and forth with Tammy's sister, Dawn. She's always been just as excited to watch the results come in as I have been. And we're always looking to say, oh, what's going to happen? Who can win now? And what do they need to do? And of course, Dawn last night said she had to call her husband and telling me that she loved him in case she died. She gets a little frantic and upset about things. But you know, this year for me, and I'll close with this, had a new twist. It was not just Dawn and I that stayed up to the wee hours of the morning trying to find out who would win the election, but my children were in our group text together discussing what was happening until, I don't know, 2 or 4 a.m. I called it quits at 2 a.m. and had like 160 messages when I got up. They were still going. All of them interested, all of them engaged, all of them informed, all of them rooting for the right team. And I trust and will continue to pray that God will bless the United States of America, not just for my good, for the good of my children and my grandchildren. And we've always prayed for our president, regardless of who he is. But soon we'll have a new president. And I suggest that it's a president who is more impressionable than any president that we've had in our lifetime. And impressionable, I mean he can be persuaded. He wants to do the right thing. And I don't know in total, he knows what the right thing is in every situation. So pray that God would surround him with the right kind of people. God-fearing men like Mike Pence is a good start. He'll give him good, godly direction because maybe God can use it. But you know, even if it all flops and it doesn't work out, our confidence should not be in politics. We ought not to trust in man. The Bible admonishes us not to put our confidence in man, but to put our confidence in God and look to Him to save America. And no doubt He'll use a man. That's how God operates. He uses a man and works through a man to change the course of lives of individuals and of nations. He did it with Moses. He did it with Joseph. He did it with Mordecai and Daniel. And He could do it with you and I, if we'll let Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for our time together tonight. I pray that some of the things that I've said would be helpful. Lord, I want to help Your people. Lord, it was my thought that I would have to get up here tonight and try to encourage Your people because the election might have went another way. We're thankful that it didn't. Lord, we at least have hope in the choice that was made for our president. Lord, at least there's some relief that we won't have to constantly be fighting back an administration that's seeking to diminish America's role in the world and to diminish the influence of Christianity in the nation as well. And Lord, I pray we'd seize this opportunity. I pray that we'd be on our faces praying for you to guide this country in the days ahead. And Lord, don't just guide it in regards to politics and economics, but guide this country spiritually. Raise up a voice that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ and put Him first, that our nation might be turned back to Thee. Bless our nation. And yet, Lord, if we're to be blessed, may our God, or may the Lord be our God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed for prayer.